Rhonda and I now have Heather Burke, life coach, group facilitator and host of Conversation Salons. And it's so we're going to talk about the part of the first fortnight Mental Health Arts Festival. Good afternoon. How are you, Heather?
I'm grand. How are you, Noel?
Fine. I'm just thinking like the mental health and the problems that go with it through the arts. It's quite innovative, isn't it?
It is. So I suppose that's the whole idea. So we've all, or many of us, you know, have to deal with things in a heavy sort of professional way. If you're watching a serious documentary, or you're going to a group therapy group, or whatever, you're going to a counsellor. So this is a sort of much more fun, entertaining way of addressing a serious topic. So if you're human, you have mental health issues, because like emotional health and physical health, we all have to deal with our mental health. So I just think it's a fabulous, I love First Fortnight. So in the first 2 weeks of the year, when many people are sort of in the doldrums, or there's a sort of real anti-climax after Christmas, First Fortnight has this fabulous sort of schedule of everything, theatre, music, spoken word, dance, discussion. So instead of having a really, what shall I say, intense sort of serious way of addressing a problem, it's a bit more lighthearted, it's more fun. So you go to a play and the play is really engaging, but it makes you really think about whatever, happiness or positive psychology or mental health or the kind of problems we come across in life and how we deal with them. Or, yeah, so it's using the arts to, in a more playful, engaging way, think about a really serious topic, yes.
Well, apart from going to see something as well, but it's just an everyday conversation, that's going to be part of it as well. Because a lot of people maybe go around confused, and I hope I'm not underestimating people, but maybe go around confused, not knowing there's something wrong, don't know quite what it is, and it's only when someone else say, hey, listen, maybe it's this, or maybe it's that, or whatever it may be. So it's through conversation that, if you want to call it, a diagnosis comes about.
Yeah, it's sort of just shining a light on it. I suppose for me, the big thing is, I think we have an awful habit, I call it this conspiracy of superficiality, that we everybody goes, I'm grand, keep the show on the road, everything's fine. And we are this whole thing of, you don't air your dirty laundry, mm-hmm. or you don't, I wouldn't give him the satisfaction of telling, you know, something. And really, if we could be honest and authentic and just, and share our worries and our concerns, like say if I could say, if I work with you, Noel, and instead of pretending I'm hunky-dory after Christmas, I say, I'm actually really down in the dumps and I feel quite miserable and I don't understand why and what, and if I could have that conversation with you in the canteen or at lunch, excuse me, then maybe you could say, oh, I feel like that too, or my wife feels like that, or my best friend mm-hmm. was saying that the other day. And suddenly it's a solution seeking thing, and it's a problem solving conversation, and it's sort of, oh, we all have similar issues, and it's nothing to be ashamed of or shy about. That's the whole thing about First Fortnight. It's about taking away the stigma, but it's also about, I suppose, I think we all need to, it's more everyday and ordinary. We all come across these bumps and these sort of issues, and sometimes when they're at a very little level, you can solve them if we're willing to own up to it and share the problem and discuss it with each other and help each other and support each other. It's when you hide it away, it becomes into something much more sort of, whatever, troublesome and dangerous and makes you unwell kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds like through conversation, you're sort of normalized to an extent that it's feelings most people have every day. Maybe it depends on the length of time they last, I suppose, and the more you keep it inside, the way it deteriorates. I suppose that's
exactly. And synopsis. I'm always amazed. Yeah. Like I've been running Conversation Salons now for 2 years. I started them January 2 years ago. But the buzz in the room. So you give people a conversation menu, and it's got questions on it about your personal life, sort of thing. How you're doing? What makes you happy? What makes you feel alive? What are the things that are sort of, how you have a better quality of life? But there's also questions about your society and your community and the bigger picture as well. But when people start talking, suddenly there's this real buzz in the room, and people are people, it's amazing when you set the atmosphere or a space for honest, authentic conversation, how willing people are to sort of tell their stories, share their life lessons, share their dilemmas and help and say, oh, I had that 2 years ago. This is how I sorted it out. Or mm-hmm. I know somebody who could help you with that. Or this is a brilliant book. So it, there's a real sort of supportive, positive energy kind of vibe that happens where people are just dying to get things off their chest. But also, so it's sort of a balance of you talk about the things you're worried about and your maybe your problems, but you also talk about your hopes and your dreams and all the wonderful things as well. So it's a really good balance like that.
Yeah, and have you sort of come across, for instance, I'm just reading through who some of the people are going to be doing some of the talks and taking part in some of the discussions, but have you come across, for instance, where people think this is a recent phenomenon, maybe over the past 10 years, that because life is all technology and things are moving so fast and stuff like that, and yet when you read through, like for instance, Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys being used as an example, and then Willie Thorne, who was a great snooker player, he's taking part.
Yeah.
And even going back to Spike Milligan and further back, and with some well-known personalities like Stephen Fry. But getting back to my original question of people thinking that it's a recent phenomenon.
Well,
Have you come across that?
I think what you're saying, though, so it has a connection to the way modern life has gotten so stressful and the way social media, people have started having these fake lives on social media and you can't talk about your real life sort of off mm-hmm. social media. But maybe, like, that's what I wonder sometimes. If you think back to your grandmother's day or back, whatever, 100 years ago, I think people were more connected in their communities and there were more natural spaces where people gathered to have sort of honest conversations or to sort of hold each other emotionally kind of thing. So just let me be clear what you're asking me, Noel. So you're saying, are people mistaken in thinking that it's a recent phenomenon when
indeed,
it's part
yeah.
of... It's since forever. Like, I mean, what comes to my head immediately are all those sort of famous artists and writers who had mental health issues. But I suppose back not that long ago, we hid it away. People covered it up, or all those, you know, those awful stories where people were sort of committed to psychiatric hospitals unnecessarily, kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Yes, yeah.
But no, I think, like many, most human, sort of the negative side of humanity or any of our problems, has been there since the beginning of time. There's nothing new in terms of how human beings cope with life and living and negotiate things. That you'd like to think we were making progress, so hopefully we are coming into a more enlightened era in terms of mental health and just being better at managing our emotional health on a day-to-day basis, so mm-hmm. just getting a little bit more clued in and educated about that and aware of it.
Okay, now these salons that you had them one in Dalyland Park and obviously one in the Botanic Gardens, and there's one coming up in Beaumont Hospital. Does that gladden you to see the attendance and maybe that you know that people are taking more and more of an interest as time is going on?
Well, okay, so I have to say they were lovely. There was a lovely atmosphere in Dalyland Park, and the one in the Botanic Gardens yesterday was different but really lovely in another way. So I suppose, what am I trying to say? I think what's important to think of...
Can I interrupt you there when you were sure. saying they're different? Is that because of the location, the Botanic Gardens would be more serene?
I don't know. All settings are all salons are different, really. It's random. So what we're looking for is to get as diverse a mixture of people together as we can in terms of age and types of people and that. But it's just sometimes they have different atmospheres, you know. So, yeah, because that's just human beings are so varied and so different kind of thing. But what I was going to say, Noel, is... Mm-hmm. It's the focus of the salons isn't specifically just mental health. There are a lot of sort of general topics about everyday life and living. And like, I'll give you an example. Will I give you an example or one or two of the questions? So it's not very much, it has indirectly it links to mental health because it gets you to talk about all the things you care about and all the things you wonder. So it's sort of, you talk about the things you're deliriously happy about and you talk about the things that you'd like to be different in your life or in your society. But so it's for everybody. It's absolutely, you could waltz in like an 18-year-old or a 90-year-old and you could say, hey, let's have an interesting chat about how things are going and what's happening in our world kind of thing. So for example, one question is, what is the most extraordinary thing that ever happened to you? And that really gets people thinking about sort of what was the most coolest, most interesting, most exotic sort of unusual thing that happened to me. And they mightn't have thought about it for years, or they mightn't have realised that something that just happened recently was actually, and then that gets other people thinking about sort of the cool things do happen every day, but sometimes we don't notice them or pay attention to them. Mm-hmm. Or there's another one, failures are the portals to discovery. Now that's James Joyce. But basically what I'm asking people then is, you know, sometimes you learn phenomenal things from your failures, whereas we're all obsessed with being successful and we've got to chill out a bit and just sometimes, you know, okay, so I flopped. Who cares? I tried. It was interesting. What did I learn? What does it teach you, kind of thing? And you have to put it in perspective and laugh about it and move on and sort of be brave enough to go on to the next adventure, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And it's a way of...
Or I also ask people things like, if we got you an hour on the Oprah Winfrey Show, which doesn't exist anymore, but say if we got you some global TV slot, what would be the one life lesson that you would want to tell everybody in the whole wide world? That kind of thing. But there are many, many questions. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing you're talking about, failure there, I mean, sometimes it's a way of, even if you've been through college and you've gotten academic and all sorts of degrees, and you then when you go for what you thought you wanted, it wasn't what you wanted. And you sort of, that's for that side of it, but if you've just been working through changing jobs, you keep failing until you find what your natural talent is. That's sometimes where failure can be a success. That's the way I would look at that part of it.
Absolutely. And I was chatting to somebody last night who was saying that some huge statistic, some huge amount of people do the wrong degree and they end up working in something that's a totally different profession. So technically they made a bad choice, they went down a wrong road, but they rerouted themselves. I think I'm relatively old, I'm 57. I think one of my own life lesson kind of thing is that you have to really, that whole thing of living in the moment and taking pleasure in the simple things of life and enjoy, you know, making something out of, that our whole life isn't dependent on money once you're surviving and you can, you know, have a place to live and you've got food. But there are so many ordinary things that can make us happy on an everyday basis, and we get really hung up on sort of things that aren't really important, and how to sort of get some perspective about that. That has a huge impact on your daily mental health and your sort of contentment level and your happiness rating.
How important do you think, you know, if I was there and I would be asking questions like this, it is to take time out actually for yourself, even if it's 10 minutes. You know, so I'll sort of refer to two sort of styles, sort of mindfulness. What do you think of that? Or yoga? What do you think of taking time out, looking into yourself, and or is that a dangerous aspect of it?
No, I don't think it's dangerous at all. I think it's, you know, society's become so madly busy. On the one hand, we're manic and we're you're lauded. Everybody, oh, I'm so busy, I'm having a cool life because I'm being super busy proves I'm super successful. But to me, it doesn't prove that at all. So I think, yeah, all the things you're talking about there, mindfulness, yoga, just quiet time, reflection, time in nature, whatever. And even if those things don't appeal to you, go walk in the woods, go hang out in your local library, go. There are many things that people did traditionally that we don't sort of do anymore. Like, this sounds really funny now, but a friend of mine, his dad was a farmer, and he says his dad used to just lean on the fence or the gate and watch the cows like for a half an hour. So that was his meditation, but nobody called it meditation.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, or just, you know, like when we were kids that you polished your shoes, and that was, you know, real. But all those kind of little chores that people just relaxed, or just people sitting on, you know, the way those old cafes where people used to sit, like in other countries. Like say in Greece or Turkey, when old men sit at cafes and sort of they just have one little cup of coffee and they stare at the street or the mountain or the beach, or they, you know, people. And in Ireland too, we were much better at just hanging out and being together and connecting with other people and relaxing. So I suppose that's a little bit part of my motivation for the conversation salons is that, I mean, I'd love to have them all over the country, like the men's sheds or something, that people, you just come to, say, every Monday night, you know, in your local cafe, there's going to be tea and buns, and you can come in with all your favourite questions, but you don't have to talk about things like Emmerdale or about, all trivia that's in the newspapers. You can actually say, oh, this is the question I'm dying to ask, you know, something more philosophical or spiritual or about positive psychology, like how do I make my ordinary life less boring? How do I make my children happier? How do I do something in my community that makes a little bit of magic happen in January when everybody's fed up? All this thing about your own well-being and about your community's well-being, but that you're kind of the instigator of this change or this activity, or just sort of looking at better habits that we need to develop, not always relating everything to economic success, but relating it to personal well-being and happiness and community kind of thing.
I suppose, which was denigrated over the years, the lads standing on the corner was a good way of doing that 40, 50 years ago, standing around and talking. And I suppose you need, as you're saying there, an instigator, because you can have all the things you like, the men's sheds, but if they get into the habit of just talking about football and what's on the TV or whatever it may be, you need someone in there to sort of change the way people think as well. And that's what these salons are all about.
Absolutely, because like there's this American woman called Margaret Wheatley, and she talks about being brave enough to have a conversation that matters. So if you're one of the lads or I'm one of the girls, there's about 10 topics you're allowed to talk about in the pub or whatever, and you've got to say, I don't want to talk about David Beckham, or I don't want to talk about Victoria Beckham's new clothesline. I want to talk about sort of real things that really matter in my life and make me tick. And I saw this cute blog with this young American lassie, Amber Ray was her name, but anyway, every Sunday night she says to herself, what would I really like to talk about this week? And when she heads into work, she's got three questions or three topics. So when she goes to the canteen on Monday or at break time, or when she goes to lunch, or when she goes to the pub with her friends, or when she sits down to have dinner with her family, she doesn't just talk about gossipy things or, you know, so I'm not saying we should get too heavy, but she actually has three kind of really, what would you say, engaging questions that she really wants the answer to. So if she meets you in the pub and you're her pal, she won't just go, oh, how's the crack? How's the weather? Did you see the football match? Did you see the new film? She'll say something to you like, of all the questions in the whole wide world, Noel, what would you most like the answer to? What do you think could make Ireland a better place? Or something, like something really, and you go, wow, that's quite a question. And it's you thinking.
As you said, it's to get people saying, well, I should do that, or there's lots of times I feel like doing that. Anyway, just to finish off, next Thursday, the 14th, the Centre of Education in Beaumont at 2 o'clock is your last one. And people should book because it fills up very, very quickly. Is it going to be the same?
If they go on to firstfortnight.ie, and it's a free event, and like we're really looking forward to it because it's the first salon we've had in a hospital, and it's a little bit exciting because we want to get sort of the hospital staff. So hypothetically, we might have a porter and a doctor and somebody from the canteen and a visitor and an outpatient and the guy who works in the local shop and the local housewife. So we're trying to get everybody from the hospital community, but also people from the actual community, people who live in the neighbourhood and around and about the north side. So and that would be lovely. So we're going to have tea and cake. It'll be set up like a little cafe kind of thing, and so it's going to be fun. So it's going to be interesting. It's like afternoon tea and a conversational adventure thrown in kind of thing. So meet new people, have really interesting topics, have a great discussion. It should be lovely. I'm expecting it to be a great afternoon.
Okay, give us that website again, Heather, please.
So it's, you book on firstfortnight.ie, and it's so it's in the Centre of Education in Beaumont Hospital from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Okay.
And all our sort of volunteers will be in the entrance in the lobby to show you where to go and that.
Is it only once a year you do this, or do you think
you'd expand? No, I'm doing these all the time.
Want
to find out about my ongoing ones, if they go on to Facebook, Conversation Salons on Facebook. So Conversation Salons on Facebook.
Okay. Thank you very much, Heather. Been a pleasure talking to you.
And probably you too. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
And, of course, that was Heather Bourke, life coach and group facilitator and host of the Conversation Salons. You can look up Conversation Salons on Facebook to find out about. They're going on all the time. But next Thursday, of course, in the Centre of Education at 2 o'clock in Beaumont Hospital. That's 2 o'clock in the Centre of Education in Beaumont Hospital.